So today's daf is daf Samech Beis. So the bottom of Samech Aleph Amr Beis, four lines up, Tanya Rabbanan. The Gemara had been talking about the Mishnah and Machlokis about if someone burned someone else's property and there's something Taman, whether you're Chayiv on that. Behuda is of the opinion that you are Chayiv even in Taman, and the Chacham held that no, you're Pater in Taman. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbanan Hamalik is a Kaddish Vayu Bokalim. Person burned someone else's pile of hay, and there were kalim buried underneath Vidalko, and everything lights on fire. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishalim Kalmasha Yabasocho, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. You pay everything, even Taman, you pay Yechayiv on Esh. Chachamim Omerim, Ein Mishalim Ela Gdish, Shel Chitin, O Gdish, Shel Sarin, whatever it is, if it's wheat, you pay wheat, if it's barley, it's barley. But Rowan Makam Kalim Kilu Humali Tfuah. So now, if the inside turned out it's all hollow inside, but it's filled with kalim, doesn't mean you don't pay for anything. You have to envision that those kalim on the inside are actually hay, and then you pay that full amount as if the entire heap of hay was wheat or barley. So Gemara says now, going on to Samech Beis Amud Aleph, Bamed Vamamur, when is this true? Bimalik Besoch Shalom, when you light a fire in your own property, Bahaluchu Vadalku Besoch Shalchaver, and that fire continues, goes over to your neighbors. That's when you have this machlokes of what you pay for the tamen. Do you pay everything for the tamen, or you pay it as if it's actually regular wheat? If you light a fire directly in your friend's property, mishalim kol, I'll add in here, mishalim kol ma shaya besocha. You pay for the full amount, even Chacham will agree you pay for everything. Umod de Rabbi Yehuda. Now there's a case where Rabbi Yehuda even agrees to Chachamim, where you're actually pater in Taman. So Amod Rabbi Yehuda lechachamim b'mashil makom lechaverob. If I have a property, I let my friend use that corner lehagdish to build up his piles of hay, gedish v'higdish, and he does v'hitman, and he hides things within that pile. Shein mashalim el d'me gedish bilad. I only have to pay for the actual wheat, the actual barley. Lahagdish chitin v'higdish sorin. Let's say I give him permission to put chita, but instead he puts sorin. Or I give him permission to put sorin v'higdish chitin, but instead he puts chitin. Or let's say he puts chitin v'chipim v'sorin, but he covers them in barley. Or sorin, let's say he makes a pile of sorin in barley, v'chipim v'chitim, covers them in wheat. In any of these circumstances, she'ein mashan el d'mei sorin bilad. The only thing you pay is the amount of barley. Barley is cheaper. It's cheaper than wheat. So that's all you have to pay. Because I gave him permission, I only had in mind to watch over barley. I did not give him permission to watch anything more expensive or have anything more expensive in my property beyond barley. Rashi just explains here. Rashi says, El Demei Gdish, two lines from the top. Im Heviu Bal Hasadeh, if the Bal Hasadeh lights a fire and it burns the other guy's pile that's in my property though, Delo Kabil Alea El Niturusa De Gdish. I only gave permission of a pile. I didn't allow him to hide all his gold and silver in there. And further, Rashi writes, Chitim v'chipin b'sorin. If he put a pile of wheat and covered it in barley, Avapisha nosin l'rishus l'chitin, even though I gave him permission for chitin, Ein misham ela sorin, you only pay barley, Dharmullah, he says to the guy, the Baal Asada says to the Baal Gdish, l'ra'isi ela sorin, I only saw barley, so I didn't really care so much if the fire went. Had I known it was wheat, I probably would have stopped it. L'fikach lo nizarti ben kokach, I wasn't that careful with my fire. So for all these different reasons, the Baal Asada only has to pay sorin in all these cases. So Gemara says now, around 10 lines down, Amar Rava, Rava says, Hanosein dinar zav li'isha. A guy gives a gold coin to a woman. Amar Lai says to his haribo, Shokasev, he says, be careful, it's silver. So Hazikasa, even though he says it's silver, but it's actually gold, Hazikasa, if she actually damages it, biyadayim, she does something, she burns it, she crushes it, Mishalames dinar zav. She has to pay the full amount of the gold, which is more expensive, of course, than the silver. Mishum d'amrullah, he says to the woman, my havala l'cha gavay, that's costly. Why did you damage it? So even though he told her it's only silver, she had no right to be mazik it, she has to pay the full amount. But pashabo, let's say she watched it properly, she watched it and she had some negligence in watching it. She wasn't mazik b'yadayim, but she left it unattended to. So then, mishalemes shel kesef, then she only has to pay the silver. She says to him, Nitiusa Tikaspa Kabbalah. I only accepted upon myself to watch this coin because I thought it was a silver coin. Had I known it was a gold coin, I never would have watched it. So I'm watching a silver coin. Now she never saw what this was, let's say. It was in a bag, let's say. Here's a bag, it's sealed, here's a silver coin. So she started bashing it with a hammer and crushed it. The mice, it was gold, so she has to pay the gold. But if she says, fine, I'll watch it, she assumed it was silver, so she didn't do as much shmira as she was should have done, but still, she only has to pay the silver.
Is it that if she knew that it was gold,
Could be.
She would have watched it more.
Unclear. Either one. Whatever it was, she only accepted upon herself the silver responsibility of a silver coin. But did they have a low kabilai? But she never accepted upon herself a gold coin to watch. Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, Austin b'dirava masnisala. You learn this in the name of Rava. Honor me masnisa pshitala. And we learned this out from a statement of a brisa, a mishnah, which it says that what we saw above. Chitin v'chipa misorim. He creates a gedish of chitin, but covers it in outer layer in barley. Or he's a pile of saorin v'chipan v'chitin and layers it in wheat. Ein misham el demei saorin bilvad. That was the mission of the brisa above. He only pays it in saorin. Alma. Therefore, we see Amar Le. He says to him, "Yitzirusa disari kabilalayu." He takes upon myself only the barley. So hachanami Amar Le. So she says the same svara, that I did not accept upon myself gold to watch, but only silver. Same exact svara. All he's saying is that you learned it from a statement of Rava. We learned an earlier source, a brisa, which really teaches this concept earlier. So Amar Rav says, Shmiasa milsa Rabbi Yehuda. I heard something in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, v'yadana mahi. I didn't remember what it was. It sounds completely, probably related to this topic though. So Amar Shmuel says, V'lo yada Abba, my Shmile, Abba, which is the way they referred to Rav, you didn't hear what he had said? Rabbi Yehuda was as follows. Rabbi Yehuda, the Mechayiv on this case, Taman Ba'ish, Rabbi Yehuda, who in general says, you're chayiv on things that are Taman when it comes to Ish, Asu Takanas Nigzal B'isha. They did a Takana for the purpose, for the sake of the Nigzal, the one who has his property stolen from. We made a special Takana with regards to the Nezek of Eish, which is what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Asu Takanas Nigzal B'isha, around 10 lines up, Ki Hecha the Tikna Rabbanu L'Nigzal Lishava Kama Gazal V'yitol. A guy has property stolen from him and he wants to collect his money, he could take a shrua that $100 was stolen from him, and he takes it after making a shrua. The Tanan Masech HaShrua, so Elu Nishpan V'Nolin, one of the examples of a person who could take a shrua and collect from the Gazan is a Nigzal, Haschir V'Nigzal. Kach, so too, Taknu B'isho Shishra Mash HaTaman V'Yitol. You have no idea what there is. It's like an insurance policy. The fire goes, so now there's a whole debate what property was damaged. And I know one guy who's going, an expensive house of his got burnt somewhere in Back Lawrence, and he had these very expensive paintings, but you can't tell what they were. And everything was, even though he had a line item, everything there, what was the actual value? So that's a whole another topic. How do you evaluate something that was burnt, that's no longer accessible? Same idea here. If something gets burnt, how do you know? So the insurance policies accept. You have a whole list of things that are there. They can't investigate because it's been burnt. But that's the idea. If you make a shvua, we trust the nigzal, in this case the nizak, what exactly was hidden in the wheat, and he's able to collect on that. Gemara says, Baya Meymar. Meymar says, Asu Takanas Nigzal B'Masr. Alo. When it comes to someone being most of property, that Reuven showed the government that Shimon's property collect from Shimon, so now they took it away. So Shimon has to collect from Reuven. The guy Reuven was Moser, which is an Isser. The Gemara is at the end of the Masechta talks about. So now we have the same concept. Does the Nigzal say, he had $1,000 of mine and it confiscated? He takes his Shrua, and the Moser has to pay him. Do we make Takana for the Moser or not? Saliba demand Amar lo dainin andina de garmi lo tibaylecha. If you assume, like the one who holds in general, you don't judge cases of garmi, which is some type of indirect damage, so demisiros nami lo dainin lei, we can't judge here either. You have no right to collect from the Moser, even though the Moser did a big isser, terrible isser. Still, it's only dina de garmi. I said, go collect from him. I didn't do any damage. I just pointed in a certain direction. So it was a dina de garmi. We can't judge. He can't collect after me. There's no shua to talk about. El Kitibailacha, the Shaila is within the world of Aliba Demandam, or the one who holds you can be Daininan Dina Degarmi. You can collect damage when someone indirectly damages your property. So the case of the Moser. So when the Moser is able to collect from the Moser, so what do we do? Do we say Asu Takanas Nigzal B'Moser? We say that the Moser could take a shua and say how much was confiscated? The Mishtabe V'Shakel take a shua and take? Allah, or we do not allow him to take a shua, and unclear how exactly to assess what was confiscated. The Gemara does have an answer. Take it. We don't know. We don't know.
The Havamina is if you're Moser somebody, he can come sue you?
Exactly. That's the idea. Now, how much? The question is, how do you figure out how much he took? So if you bring evidence, so then fine. If there's no evidence, do we rely on Shu alone? The Gemara doesn't have a conclusion. Hahu de Gavra, a certain person, de Batish be Kaspasa de Chavre, he kicked around some silver silver of a friend, I don't know, silver goblets, silver something, and Shadyad bin Ara ended up kicking into the river. So awesome, Mare, the owner of the Baal HaKesef, says, Amr Hachi Hachi Habilu, Begave, there was a whole box of silver. It was a silver, my silverware and everything else. Begave, so you owe me all that money? So Yosef Rav Ashi Vakamainle, Rav Ashi sat down and he started to investigate, do some research what the halacha is. Ki hai Gavna, Mai, what's the halacha with regard to this case? So Amrle Ravina le Rav Acha Bre Drava, Amrle others say it was Rav Acha Bre Drava le Rav Ashi. Lav Hainu Masnisin, is this not our Mishnah? Which is what? The Tanan. Modim Chachamim le Rabbi Huda. There are times, even though in general, Chachamim say, Taman Be'esh is Pater, some instances Chachamim agree that you're Chai by Taman. So Modim Chachamim le Rabbi Huda ben Malik es Abira, the person burns an entire building, Shem Mishalim Kol Mashu B'socho, that you have to pay for everything that's inside, Shekein Derech B'nei Adam Laniach Bebatim. Because people place all expensive items and valuable items inside the buildings. So you need to pay for everything. And the guy who burnt it should have known that there's valuable items inside. So here too, so he had a box of silver, and certainly he kept precious things inside. So we trust the Nizak in this case. So Amar Lei, Ida Katan Zuze Hachinami. If he's claiming money that people normally would keep in their fines in cash. But here, Hacha, the guy is claiming the Katan Magnisa, Mai. The guy is claiming he had real precious diamonds and jewels. Do people normally keep that? My mi manchi inshi marginisa bekaspa. Do people place these pearls in a silver box? Oh no. The question is, what do people normally do? What was the expectation of the guy who kicked the silver box? Should he have known that there's more expensive items in there or not? The Gemara ends in a teku. Gemara doesn't know. Amalei Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi ton kasa de kaspa bebiri mai. The guy says, I was keeping a box of silver in my building. So what's halacha? Does a guy keep it in like a safety box, or he keeps it in his apartment building? So Amrlei. So he says Chazi lechazina. Let's analyze the case here. E inish amid who, if he's a wealthy person, Rashi's amid means ashir. So dish like kasa the kaspa that he has silver cups in the house. Inami. Alternatively, inish demhemne who, he's a trustworthy individual. Demafkid inish gave, a person would have him watch his expensive items. So then we would say Mishabi Vashakil. Either if he's rich enough to have such an item or trustworthy enough to watch such an item, he's allowed to take a shvua and take it. Or Elo, if he's not such a person, he's poor and he's not trustworthy, then Lav, he doesn't have a claim. Lav Kol Kimina, he doesn't have the right to make a claim. I'd a lot of silver cups in my I hold all this expensive silverware. We don't trust him in that case. Okay. So Gemara says Amrle Rav Ada Bred Rav Avila Rav Ashi. Ma ben gazan lechamsin. All right, somewhat of a random question here. It's an important topic, though. What is the difference between a gazan and a chamsin? The Gemara uses this lashon. We also have lashon by Parshas Noach. Rashi talks about it being a chamsin. A chamsin is someone who steals. So gazan is also someone who steals. What's the difference between a gazan and a chamsin? So Gemara answers, Amrle chamsin yav demei. Chamsin, not only he doesn't take, but he's actually a nice gazan. He pays back the money. He takes the guy's, the guy's running out of the convenience store, he takes away all the, cleans out the shelves, but he leaves him a couple of bucks on the countertop for the guy. That's a chamsin. A gazan, the guy who just takes, doesn't give any money in return. If the guy pays him for what he took, that's not called a chamsin. The Gemara Babasa tells us, if a guy hangs another individual, he hangs up Reuven on the tree, says, you better sell this to me or I'm going to kill you. He says, okay, fine, I'll sell it to you. So I pay him the money, it's a good sale. Even though I force him into the sale, it's a good sale. We don't call him a chamsin. Okay, you force the guy, he's not a very nice guy, he's a bully, but it's not called a chamsin. He didn't violate an avera there. So the Gemara says, so that's not called a chamsin. If you pay money, you're just a mean guy, but you didn't violate an avera. Gemara says, no, lo kasha. Ha dama rotsani, ha dlo ama rotsani. If the guy who's the mocha says rotsani, that's tzli of his oven, the guy sold it, he didn't violate an avera, he's a bully, but he didn't violate an avera. The guy said, "Ain't rotsani," he did say, I don't want to sell it. He says, too bad, I'm giving you the money anyways. So then we call him a chamsin. But then the third case is a gazlan, the guy doesn't even pay back the money. So those are the three levels. There's a gazlan, no money. Chamsin, there's an isser, but he at least pays the money. And the third case is tzliva's oven, where the mocher says, rotsani, it's a good sale, we just call the guy a bully. Well, I'm calling him a bully. The Gemara doesn't say that. Okay, there's an interesting toast on the bottom here. I don't know if we have time for this now. About the lo sachmod. A fascinating topic about lo sachmod, based on the Gemara here, and the Gemara above Mitzir. Let's go back to the next page. If we have time, maybe we'll come back to do this toast for us here. Okay, fine. Gemara now says on the top of Samach Beis and Beis. Mishnah says, we saw this Mishnah quoted at least once, maybe even twice. The Mishnah says, a spark, sheyata mitachas apetish. Potish, a guy bangs the hammer and a spark goes flying, behizik, and it causes damage, either damage his property, could even damage an individual, I would imagine. Chayv, the Baal HaPatish has to pay the damage. Gamal shayaton pishon, a camel's walking with a pile of flax on his back. V'avar b'shis rabim, it's passing through a public area. V'nichas pishon l'toch achanas, and excuse me, the flax makes its way somehow into a store. It's that long, it knocks into the store, and I imagine that they had their, it wasn't like our stores, but there's a door. Imagine it more like the shuk, where everything's out in the open. So underneath the awning, so everything's out on display, and it's going through, it's like hitting everything, boom, 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 boom. Whenever I go through Midtown Tunnel, I have a Talmud of mine, his first date, he took his now wife, but then was his, they were dating, he took her through Midtown Tunnel, and he wasn't not such a good driver. So during the Midtown Tunnel, you know the pink, the orange things in the middle? He was banging it every time. He's like going back and forth. Every time I go through the Midtown Tunnel, I think of that. Anyways, so he's going through, and like it's hitting every like storefront along the way. And in doing so, the v'nichas pishan l'toch chanus, and it goes into one of the stores along the shuk, v'dalko b'neir shechadvani, and the guy had a light and a fire. So the pishano catches fire from that light, and hidlikes abira, and now that fire, the pishan's on fire, and lights up the entire building. So Baal HaGamal Chayev, the Baal HaGamal Chayev, because he shouldn't have put such a large and wide pishan load on the camel. However, if he placed the torch outside the store where he had no right, then the Chanvani's Chayev for being irresponsible and putting it in such a place that could cause a big fire. But then Rabbi Huda says, Omer Berner Chanukah Pater, but there's a mitzvah to place a Chanukah b'chutz, we know. That's the mikra din nowadays we do b'frim. But b'chutz and Eretz Yisrael is b'chutz as well. So since it's b'chutz and there's a heter, reshus mitzvah, bezdim, so then the Baal HaChanus is pater. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Mishmei Dirava Shma, now we learn from here, Midi Rabbi Yehuda, Ner Chanukah mitzvah al-nicha besoch asara. There's a mitzvah to place the candle near Chanukah within 10 tefachim on the ground, low down, which is 10 tefachim is less than 40 inches or so.
This is
we'll see right now how they prove this. Because this hakadaitach, right, if they had a havmina lemala me'asara, if the mitzvah is to place it above 10 tefachim, amai. So why? Amar Rav Yehuda near Chanukah pater. Why would he say pater? Le'male havale lanuchei lemala megamo. Rochvo. So then, I should say the Baal Chanus, why do you place it so low? You should place the fire much higher up. My Gamal, how high is the Gamal? Gamal is, I don't know. We have to Google this one. We Google how heavy they are, by the way. In terms of camels and oxen, it depends which oxen we're talking about. Different species. Some oxen are more heavier than camels, others are lighter. But we're not sure the height. But let's say the height's around here. So the Pishano is a few inches above that. So you don't have to leave it the candle here. You should have put it, I don't know, 7 feet high probably would be enough to clear the camel. So why didn't you place it higher? So, and then therefore the Baal Gamal shouldn't be chayiv, the Baal Chanus should be chayiv for placing the Ner Chanukah so low. So the fact that we say El Lav Shmamina, the fact that we say the Baal Chanus is pater, we put it so low, even though it's in range of the Gamal, Shmamina mitzvah l'anicha b'soch asar, that there's a mitzvah to place it within 10 tefachim. Now I'm not really getting the measurements here either, because 10 tefachim is 4 inches. The camel, I guess maybe the flax hangs over, maybe that's the point. It must bend over, it must be soft. So if it hangs over like that, so it's going to maybe catch fire from the candle that's 10 tefachim high.
5.9 to 6.6
feet. So that's the top of it. So okay, so and it's 3.5 feet is the candle. So the flax, you have pictures of a flax on the back of a camel. So if it bends down. So it bends down, so I guess that way it's going to catch fire as it hangs over. Okay. The Gemara says, "Lo, this is not a rye from our Mishnah. The olam ein malacha filu mal me'asar. There's a mitzvah to place it. You're allowed to at least place it even above 10 tefachim. So my amr is that which you have said. Ibaylechal anuche lemala migamal. The rochvo. We should say to the Baal Chanus, if you are allowed to place it above 10 tefachim, so you should have placed it above that. Why are you being so negligent in placing it so low, where you know camels walk by where they're hanging over flax?" So Gemara says, "Kevan de mitzvah kasek kulei hai lo atircha rabbanim." Since he's involved in the mitzvah, the Chum didn't want to make him be matriach so much and have to raise the Ner Chanukah so high. We're concerned maybe he'll miss the mitzvah out entirely. So, Kamashma, so therefore he has a heter to place it solo. I'm just wondering as I'm learning this, the Gemara in Chanukah, I guess it makes sense, the Gemara in Shabbos that says that when is there a mitzvah to light the candles? Shkias HaChama, when everyone's leaving the Shuk. Everyone's leaving the Shuk. Who's leaving the Shuk at that time? That nation, whatever the name, the last, the stragglers are leaving. So, which Jewish owner of Baal Gamal would be walking through the Shuk at that time when the Chanukah is lit? They should have been home ready to light the Chanukah candles earlier that day.
That's the latest man. I should just go right on the Shuk.
Yeah, but earlier.
Right.
Earlier is man.
Earlier is man. Now that's the idea. According to the Rambam, that is the time, the only time to light at Shkia. According to the Rambam, at Shkia is the ideal time. You should not do it earlier, not later. At Shkia Mamish. So everyone should be home ready, preparing their. So this might be a raya that it's not actually the exact time of according to the Rambam. In fact, the other Jews are walking through when the other guy already lit his candle. Furthermore, why was he lighting the candle at the Chanukah? It's not at his house. He must have lived there also, I guess. Okay, I'm just thinking of these questions as we're going on. Fine. Gemara says last two lines of the parak. Few lines of the parak. Amar Rav Kana, Darish Rav Nasan Bar Min Yomi, Mishmei de Rav Tanchum, Ner Chanukah Sheinicha Lamala Mesrim, Ama Psula Kisuka Ukamavon. Gemara tells us here, Gemara in Sukkah, Gemara in Irvin, Gemara in Shabbos, that if a Ner Chanukah is placed above 20 Amos, it's possible, no different than a Sukkah above 20 Amos, and a Mavoy for Irvin also cannot be above 20 Amos. Hajinlach Hakonis. All right, let's begin the seventh parak, Parak Merubah. Mishnah says, Meruba midas tashume kefil mi midas tashume arba v'chamisha. Greater is the payment of double, even though it's less than the 4 or 5 amounts. Why? Shim midas tashume kefil no hagis bein bedavar sheish baruachaim bein bedavar sheim baruachaim. Even though kefil, of course, is quantitatively less than the 4 and 5, it's applied more often. That applies to whether or not the item's stolen. We know when you pay kefil, when a person steals it, denies stealing it, and he's caught, he has to pay the double. So, if he steals something that's yeshua ruachaim, an animal, or something that is inanimate, shema ruachaim, he has to pay kefil in those cases. However, the Mishnah says midas tashume arba v'chamisha, the 4 and 5 is eno no heges ela b'shur v'seh b'vad. Not only does it not apply to all ruachaim, it only applies to an ox and to a sheep. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, ki yignov ish shor oseh v'tavalcho macho v'gomer. So it's very limited in its application, the 4 or 5. Ein hagonev acha gonev misham tashum kefil. If Reuven steals, and then Shimon steals from Reuven, so Shimon, the second ganav, does not have to pay double, nor does he have to pay toveach mocher. Acher again, ein hagonev acha gonev ganav misham tashum kefil. V'lo toveach v'lo mocher acha gonev ganav misham tashum arba v'chamisha. Nor does the guy who steals it and shechs and sells it, he doesn't have to pay 4 or 5. Only if you steal from the original owner is there kefil and dalad v'hei, but not from stealing from a ganav.
If you steal from the shomer, so that there was kefil.
If you steal from the shomer, it's kefil, right? The question, who gets the kefil, depending whether the shomer takes a shrew and pays for it or not. Okay, so the Gemara says now, ilu midas tashume kefil no ages bein beganav bein betoein tainis ganav. Now, we're about to say another line here that was not mentioned in the Mishnah. We did not say that paying kefil applies whether the ganav is or if the shomer was towing tainas ganav. Let's remind ourselves. The shomer who, let's say, shomer sachar. So if he claims it was stolen from him, a shomer chinam. If he claims that it was stolen from him, he's pater. So he has an object, he's watching bechinam. He says, I don't have it, some guy stole it from me. He's pater from paying. If it turns out that he was the one who took it, then he has to pay kefil. That's called toin tainas ganav. So it doesn't say by tashume kefil that applies whether the guy was a ganav or whether the guy was a shomer who toin tainas ganav. And in contrast to that, midas tashume arba v'chamisha eino no heges el beganav bevad. And we don't. The 4 and 5 only applies to a ganav, but it doesn't apply to a shomer. That distinction lokatani is not mentioned at all in that Mishnah. That again, that a shomer who is towing tainas ganav has to pay kefil, but doesn't have to pay 4 or 5. That distinction is not mentioned in this Mishnah. Why not? So it's Masai Lei, it supports Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Dam Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, ha towing tainas ganav bepikadom, mishalim tashume kefil, v'tavachumacham mishalim tashume arba v'chamisha. There is an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan who a shomer, if he denies having it, he says it was stolen, and he ends up taking it himself, and shechs and sells it himself, So he would have to pay, I'm sorry, if he probably claims all of that to be, if he claims that it was stolen and sold, so then he would have to pay 4 and 5. The fact that our Mishnah does not distinguish tells us that our Mishnah thinks that the Shomer has to pay for all those different payments in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore to support. So Gemara says, Ikadami, others have it differently. Lema Mesaile, the Rabbi Chir Ba'aba, Dam Rabbi Chir Ba'aba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, suggests that our Mishnah is a support for Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Tawain Tainas Ganav, Pipikadon, Mishalim Tashumi Kefel, Tavachomachar, Misham Tashumi Arba Chamisha. The fact, again, that our Mishnah doesn't distinguish tells us that this is exactly the opinion of Yochanan, that Shomer has to pay for all these different payments. There is no distinction to talk about. Gemara says, Mikatani, is it written? Gemara says, Ein Bain Ruba Katani. So again, it says, Ein Bain. Grant says, no, Mikatani Ein Bain Ruba. It doesn't say Ein Bain, like it says by the Ein Bains in Megillah. Katani Tani Vashire. It's rather Tani Vashire. It has. It's a list of a few examples, but are some things that are left off the list. It wasn't an exhaustive list. And in Echanami, it's possible that this is another distinction that a Torah Tani Skana pays Kefil but doesn't pay Dal Chamisha. It just wasn't an exhaustive list. So there is an Araya from our Mishnah. Mar now says Shemidas Tashuma Kefil Nohagis Vechule Mnah Nimila. How do you know these true words to be true? The Tana Rabban, the Brisa quotes the following drasha. I'll call davar pasha, any type of pesha that happens, referring to something that gets stolen, is actually referring to a shomer, I believe. I'll call davar pesha, any negligence that happens. And then it goes on to say, that's a klal. Then it says, al shor, al chamor, al seh, al salma. Then it starts to give some types of examples of objects that may have been stolen or watched. So this is a prat. I'll call vedo, and anything that's lost, chazav a klal, that's another klal. It becomes a rule, klal, uprat, uklal. A rule, a specifics, and a rule again. So what's the klal? What's the halacha? What's the yisod? Iatadon elokin aprat. So then, once you have a klal, prat, a klal, it means that the klal can only be defined by something similar to the prat, by the examples. Maha prat, just like the examples given, mefurash, davar, hametalta, v'gufa, mamon, are all examples that are something that's movable and have value to them. So af kol davar, hametalta, v'gufa, mamon. So to any other object that is movable and has value. What's it coming to exclude? When is there not kefil? Yatsu karkaos shein metaltim. Land is not metaltim. Yatsu avadim shuk shelo karkaos, that they're connected to, which case there is no kefil for someone who steals land. For someone who steals avadim, there's no kefil. Yatsu sharos shaf al pishim metaltim. Even though documents are movable, ein gufa mamon, they are not valuable themselves. They have no worth to them. Let's go just two more lines here. Yatsa hektesh re'eyu ksiv. Hektesh is also excluded because it says re'eyu in the pasuk, as opposed to hektesh, which is not re'eyu, which is not your own by your friend. So I think we should stop here actually, because the Gemara is going to continue well into the next daf. But on this point, let's look at a quick Tosos though. Dibur Maskil Yatsu Karkaos says Tosos Vim Tomar on the bottom here. This is the Yatsu Karkaos, the two Tosos him up. Vim Tomar Kevin Imeita Mishrua, since you can't make a shrua either on Karka Vadim and Sharos, as it says in Gemara in Bamatzia, Mtepagle Dein Bahem Kefel, Batoin Tainas Ganav, Delo Mashalim Ela Bishrua. Kidamino Lakaman Mishmaisen, Velekalim, fine. The halacha is, a Toin Tainas Ganav only pays Kefel if he takes a shrua first. Now you don't take a shrua on Karka, you don't take a shrua on Avadim, and you don't take a shrua on Sharos. So if the Shomer can't take a shrua, that means it can never result in Kefel for Toin Tainas Ganav. So that's why it should be excluded from Toin Tainas Ganav, not because it's these Gzeres HaKasavs. So Gemara answers, just go down two lines, V'yesh Lomar, Zitzrich Lehecha Dish Nishba Aydei Gilgul. We can create a situation where there can be a Shavu on Karka, Avadim and Sharos, V'yishchayv a Shavu in another circumstance, so Aydei Gilgul Shavu, we can make a Shavu on other items as well, even though normally you wouldn't take a Shavu on those, Aydei Gilgul, you're allowed to. One more line into this very Tosos here. Tosos, go two further lines in Tosos. He writes, Vim Tomar, the Gneva Bakarka Heichi Shaiche. How do you steal Karka? The Gemara says you can't pay Kefal on stealing Karka. How do you steal Karka? You can't steal Karka. So answers Tosos, V'yesh Lomar Bim Masik Gvul. If you move over the lines, your borders, your fence, that's an Isser Hasagos Gvul. That's a whole big discussion. According to Tosos, he clearly assumes Hasagos Gvul is under the rubric of Gneva. Not everybody holds that way. Inami, alternatively, Bim Mechubar Lakarka, Kihahi the Asar Gafanim Teunos Vitoin Shinignivu Lo Chamisha Vinimsa Shun Ganvam. A guy who has grapes that are growing and they're full, they're attached to the ground, but they're ready really to be taken off. So they're attached, on one hand they're karka, but also at the same point they're considered metaltim because they are really omdim libatzer. That's what he suggests based on Gemara in Shruas and the Gemara in Gittin as well. Okay, let's stop here. Fine, everyone have a wonderful day.